Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha and good morning. Welcome to Catch the Wave and Save a Life radio show. I am super excited about today. Happy Monday to all of you out there. We have a great show lined up today. 45 minutes will be on, so we're going to cover a lot today. Have some very exciting news and a very special guest on board today. Our president, Ingrid Olsen, partners with Ethiopia. She's going to be sharing her story and her mission of the work that she is doing in Africa. And first of all, just want to thank everybody for tuning in. Want to thank all of you for your support out there. Thank you for your social media sharing and all the things that you're doing to help me spread my message. Also, thank you to Suzanne from the Maui Zan Show last Wednesday. I got to be on their show live on 88.5 FM. And super happy about that. Got it recorded. It is on my website at catchthewavehawaii.com, so you can listen to that show of the replay. But we had a really fun time, and it's just so interesting seeing how we're all networking together and all connected together in so many different ways. So I want to introduce my co-host to you, Michael Smith, from Texas all the way across the pond. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fine, Sandy. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Well, we had a very rainy night in Haiku last night. I mean, it came down really hard, but we've been needing the rain. It's been a little dry the last few days, so it's always nice for it to rain at night up here in the rainforest.
I can imagine now you're going to have an explosion of colors and scents over the next few days.
Yeah, I know what all the flowers and the... Yeah, things get really big out here.
Oh, I know.
Welcome aboard. Yeah, thank you so much. And Michael, thank you so much for just sharing my tweets and really helping me get the message out there, too, and just your support on social media. I really appreciate that so much. And I just love your passion, and I really look forward to going to Africa with you and seeing with my own eyes what you have experienced, and also what our guest, Ingrid Olsen, has experienced. So I want to kick this off. For those of you who are listening, if you have any questions during the show, you can always call in at 347-850-8692. And you can just say hi if you have any questions about what we're doing and how you can get involved and support these different efforts. Please call in at the number 347-850-8692. So I'm going to jumpstart this a little bit and give you a little backstory about Ingrid Olsen and I and how we met. As with most of my friends, including Michael, I've met a lot of my friends on social media, and I love the fact that we're able to network that way, and it is a small village even though it's a big world. So Ingrid Olsen and I met on Instagram a few months back, and she was sharing how she was going to do a live Facebook feed of her trip to Ethiopia, and she had just been there a couple of weeks before, and we ran across each other's path on Instagram, and I was like, I need to talk to you because I think I'm going to Ethiopia and I want to learn more. So her and I connected, and then small world, come to find out her sister lives 5 minutes from me here in Haiku. And I had no idea that I knew her sister here on Maui. So anyway, that really even made more of a connection. So, but super excited to have her on board today. I also want all of you, if you're listening and you're at your computer or whatever, please go to partnerswithethiopia.org while we're talking so that you can kind of see what she is doing over there, the efforts that they're making over there. But first of all, I wanted to read the mission statement from their website. Basically, it says, our mission is to support our Ethiopian partners They are working hard to educate and empower orphans, vulnerable children, and widows to break the cycle of poverty and offer hope and independence for their future. So that is their mission statement. So without further ado, Ingrid, thank you so much for being on with us this morning.
Oh, thank you, Sandy. I'm really excited to do this. I've never been on a radio show. So,
well, thank you for coming on board. I'm really excited about learning more about, you know, what really drew you to Ethiopia, this part of the world, and just go ahead and share a little backstory of how all of this, really your passion for Ethiopia, got started.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, my whole life I've loved children, and in my late teens I got interested in working with vulnerable children, children in need, mostly here in the United States. And about 6 years ago, one of my dear friends adopted a little girl from Ethiopia. And after she brought her home, I got together with her, and just hearing some of her stories about their trip to Ethiopia and some of the things she had learned, it kind of sparked my interest. And I ended up signing up to go on a trip in January of 2011. And it was kind of one of those life-changing trips. At the same time, I didn't want to just go and experience something. I wanted to find something to get involved in. And while we were there, we visited a local NGO or nonprofit down in southern Ethiopia that's all run by Ethiopians. And for the last 5 years, I've been involved in supporting their work. And it's, my involvement has kind of increased and grown, and now I'm running Partners with Ethiopia here in the U.S., and our main goal is to fundraise and to support the work that's being done in southern Ethiopia.
No, I love that, because it's a little different from the normal nonprofits that are out there, because basically you guys, as Partners with Ethiopia, are advocating on behalf of those, you know, humanitarian efforts that are going on in Africa. So this is a little different spin than you normally see, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And what I've learned is there's so many local efforts in countries all over the world, and in Ethiopia in particular, where you've got Ethiopians who, you know, are capable and well-educated and want to reach out in their own communities and do this work, but it just takes funding. And that's where they struggle a little bit, is to get the funding. And so it's great to partner with them. That's where the name Partners with Ethiopia came from. Partner with them and support their work and their efforts. Because the truth is I, you know, I go once a year for a week and I visit and I see how things are going, but I can't be there every day to do the work. Mm-hmm. And for me to go and try to learn the language and the culture and to fit in a way that I would need to really make an impact there, it's very difficult, and it's just not something I personally feel called to do. So I love that I can go every year and support their work. So my work is really here in the U.S., just fundraising and advocating for them.
Now, one of the organizations that you do work very closely with is FOVC. And for those of you who are listening, that's Friends of Orphans and Vulnerable Children. So tell us a little bit about that effort and what they do there.
Yeah, so FOVC is our main partner in Ethiopia. We are supporting them, and we are also supporting one school. So we're fully focused on what they're doing. FOVC was started about 10 years ago by an Ethiopian gentleman named Desalegn Daka. He grew up in the village of Shanto, which is down in the south, and he had gone to university and gotten an engineering degree and was working, and one of his childhood friends passed away and left a widow and two small children, and it just kind of grabbed his heart, and he came back, and I think he talked with the widow and promised to make sure her kids stayed in school and were okay, and out of that grew this desire to start an NGO and to help more vulnerable children and orphan children in that community of Shanto where he grew up. And so it's just slowly grown over the years, and now they have 300 children in the sponsorship program, and we're running that sponsorship program for them here in the U.S. by recruiting sponsors and overseeing the funding. And it's just grown, and they have plans to continue to grow. They have permission from the local government to expand to 7 project sites. They currently have 2 project sites, and there'll be up to 200 children at each project site, so it's quite a bit of potential. So I'm just really hoping and praying we can continue to get sponsors and help their program grow.
That is so awesome. Now, the sponsorship program with the children, and I'm just going to kind of jump in here. I actually sponsored a child last week. I had been really praying and searching, and I found one through Ingrid's organization and also with FOVC. And his name is Hanania, and I just, as soon as I saw his photo, he just grabbed my heart. And the interesting thing, for those of you who don't know, you know, with me living on Maui, there's a little town out in the middle of nowhere on the east side of the island called Hana. And the fact that his name was Hanania really, really grabbed me, because it's almost like a Hawaiian name. And he's in the middle of Africa. So I just felt a really strong connection there and felt like God really brought us together. So I'm super excited about sponsoring him and just praying for him, you know, every day. And also I'm going to see him when I go to Africa in October, and I cannot wait, because that is just going to be amazing to actually see a child that you're actually sponsoring. And this is a new road for me. I've never done this before. I've never sponsored a child before ever in my life. So this is the first time for me. So it's a new journey for me too, and I'm really, really excited about it. But Ingrid, why don't you tell everybody what, if someone were to sponsor a child, and how much it costs and what it includes that this child is receiving?
Yeah. So right now we're working to get, we had 95 children at a project site called Dale, and we launched at the end of April a campaign, 95 sponsors in 95 days, basically. And we're down to 75 kids to go. And sponsorship is $38 a month. And what that does, let me explain sponsorship programs really quick. A lot of people don't quite understand this. But when you sponsor a child, your donation that you're giving every month helps fund a program that your sponsor child is attending. And so, and you're matched with one child in that program to pray for them and write them and be a connection to them. And so the money is kind of all pooled together to run the program that the child is in. And so in Dale, this $38 a month that sponsors give gets pooled with everyone else's money, and that money runs the program. So FOVC has a little compound there rented, and the children through sponsorship get support so that they can attend school, and that support is, you know, school uniforms, school supplies, shoes, things they would need for school. And in Ethiopia, school is not always a guarantee for children. Often the government schools are free, but they require children to have school supplies and shoes at the bare minimum. Some of them also want them to have a school uniform, and if a family can't afford that, then their child might not go to school. So helping the child get to school is crucial. Another thing with education is that oftentimes the government schools are very overcrowded. You may have 2,500 children at one elementary school, and the buildings can't accommodate that many kids at one time. And so what they do is they divide the kids in half. Half go in the morning and half go in the afternoon. Well, then children are only getting a half day of school. So the great thing about the children in Dale is they go to school for the half day, and then they come to, we call it the Dale Center of Hope. And HOPE stands for Helping Orphans Prosper Through Education. And so they spend the second half of the day at the little compound there, and there's staff there, and they get a hot lunch, and they get tutoring and homework help. And then in the summer months when there's no school, they run a program for them there, so the kids continue to have somewhere to go and get a hot lunch, and they do educational activities in the summer to keep help the kids continue to learn. So it's a really great program. The children have access to medical care. Just general first aid is offered, but if there are children who need more medical care, it is available. We had a little girl when we were there on our trip in March, we noticed there was something wrong with her ears. It was just a very large lump behind her ear and something wrong with the side of her face. And we asked about it, and they had already taken her to to see a doctor locally, and the doctor had referred her to a specialist in about an hour away in a larger town. And luckily, the little girl had just gotten a sponsor, and so the sponsor was able to raise some money for extra medical expenses, and we got the little, they took the little girl into a specialist, and long story short, she had surgery about a week and a half ago, and they were able to remove the tumor that was growing. So that was a huge praise. So if children need more medical care, we can help them fund that. This is a faith-based program, so the children receive, you know, Christian discipleship as part of coming. They learn Bible stories, and the staff are all Christians, and so that they have that support in that way as well. So that it's a really great program, and I love the staff. A lot of them have been working there 3-4 years and know the kids really well, and you can just kind of see that connection they have with the children, which is really neat.
Wow, that's really awesome.
Sponsorship in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, the fact that they're, even during the summer, you know, when school's out, you guys have them in programs and they're getting fed. You know, a lot of, for those of you who are listening, a lot of times these children are not getting fed every day, and they're coming to school hungry, or sometimes they don't come to school, you know, because of different things that are going on in the home. But I love the fact that you're feeding them too. You know, because sometimes that's the only meal they'll get the whole day. So
you mentioned the home. Another thing that the staff does is they do home visits throughout the year. So they try, you know, 3-4 times a year to visit every child's home and connect with the parents or the caregivers. And the children in the program are either orphaned or fully orphaned or vulnerable, meaning they've lost one parent. So you've got a lot of children that lived with their widowed mothers or their, you know, widowed fathers. You have some children who've lost both parents and they're living with a grandparent or an aunt or uncle. We do have a few rare situations where there's no family. And so then FOVC has worked alongside the local government to try to find like a foster home in the village, somebody else to care for the child. So it's really helping these kids stay with family so they don't try to go to the city and make it on their own or end up in an orphanage. So it's a really great program.
Now, how old, what are the age ranges between, like, these kids? What is your youngest and your oldest in this program?
Yeah, so they will usually admit kids into the program around preschool age, around age 4. And the goal, the long-term goal, is to follow these children all the way through university. And in Ethiopia, the government universities are actually free, but you have to score high enough on your national exams in high school in order to be allowed to go to the free university. And so that's why education is really strongly pushed in this program, because they want all the children, by the time they hit high school, to be able to test high on all of those exams so that they can go to university for free. So the goal is, get to university, they'll still be sponsored while they're in university to help with some of their living expenses, and the staff will still follow up on them, and the goal is to see them all the way through to graduation. And if children don't make it to university, then through sponsorship, they will send them to a trade school, maybe to learn to be an electrician or, you know, builder of some sort, other skills that they can do. But the goal really is that full university degree.
That's awesome. Well, I want to switch gears a little bit. You know, you went to Ethiopia in March. And, Michael, I'm going to let you jump in here, because for those of you who are listening, Michael actually lived in Ethiopia as a child. He's been there a lot, doing a lot of work there. Him and his son sponsored a lot of children through Compassion International. So Michael has some very deep roots in Ethiopia. He has a heart for Ethiopia. So Michael, I'm going to let you kind of jump in and anything that you want to talk to Ingrid about, you know, in regards to her visit recently. I want to learn more about her visit as well there and what they did. So I'm going to let you take over.
Okay, that's not a problem. Ingrid, God, so great to hear your story. And I love storytelling.
Thank you.
And you're just a, it's an amazing story. And I know that area where you are fairly well. It's a beautiful, beautiful part of Ethiopia. Ethiopia is a large, large country, over close to 100 million people now, and it's diverse. And the area where you're doing work with your NGO is just a beautiful part of Ethiopia. What language is the primary language in that part? Do your children speak? I know most Ethiopians speak at least two languages, if not three, including English.
Yes.
So the
main language. Yeah, the main language obviously is Amharic, and that's spoken all through the country. And the two project sites, one of them is in Wolaita, and they speak. I think it's called Wolaita or Wolaitia.
Yes.
Is the language, and that's the Shanto is the location. Mm-hmm. And then the other project site is Dale, which is in Sidama, which is a different region of Ethiopia, and they speak Sidama is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they're all learning English as well. So these children in school are really learning to read and write three languages, which is amazing.
Right.
I've been very impressed with their English.
What I'm impressed with as well from a standpoint of the NGOs, the nonprofits, organizations like yours, and the Ethiopian government that understands that. They have a country with 100 million people living in the country, and my understanding is, Ingrid, there's over 65 different dialects, basically five major languages, so they understand to have a strong country of wonderful Ethiopians producing and getting out of poverty in education, they have to stress languages. And once reach the university level, a lot of university courses are taught in English. So it's important that many of the preschoolers start learning the alphabet. One child I sponsored, he knew the American alphabet by the time he was five. So before he even started preschool. So anyway, in Sidama, a big country, I'm a coffee fanatic, and beautiful, wonderful coffee is grown down in Sidama. That's a gorgeous part of the country. Tell us more about that part of the country of Ethiopia. It is in the south, down past part of what they call the Great Rift Valley. And Owassa is probably the closest major city, isn't it?
Owassa, yes.
Yeah. Tell us more about that region and what the people do down there. As far as trying to live and produce and raise families and the struggles they have. And talk a little bit about when you talk about children that are vulnerable, and you mentioned being orphaned or still living with family, but talk about the issues of unclean water and nutrients, their bodies. If you talk, it's great they're getting health care, but that one meal they get a day sometimes is so important. But let's talk more about the region and what those families do down there and what it's a beautiful part. And I know you've been there.
Yeah.
I've been there. I can't wait to take Sandy there.
Yeah, southern Ethiopia definitely has a different look than, you know, the capital city and the middle of the country. So I always tell people, if you're going to go to Ethiopia, don't just stay in the capital. If you can go south, it's so worth it. It's very mountainous. And as long as they have adequate rain, it's very green and lush and beautiful in southern Ethiopia. And it's interesting. I was looking at a map because Ethiopia was really struggling with drought. And, like, the northeast part of Ethiopia is much more desert-like. Uh-huh. But southern Ethiopia, with good rain, it's just lush and beautiful. A lot of farming. A lot of coffee grown, and so a lot of the children in our program come from, you know, farming communities. I really don't think, to my knowledge, that there's not, like, big mass farms like we have here in the United States. It's a lot of small individual farmers, and we did a project last fall where we raised money for widows to start small-scale farms, because many of them had lost husbands who had been farmers, but they didn't necessarily have the skill to continue that on themselves. And so through that program, they received training and some support and help and got seed. And when we were there, we went out to visit a few of the women to see their fields of corn that was growing, and that was really neat. So it's just beautiful countryside. I love getting out there. You know, one thing that's interesting about Ethiopia that I learned is there is a grain that grows there called teff, and it's unique to that part of the world. It doesn't grow anywhere else in the world, and out of it they make their injera, their flatbread that they is kind of the staple to their diet. And it's actually very nutritious. It's got iron and several other minerals in it, and it's kind of neat to me that God placed that there, that healthy grain there for them to have. All the food that the children eat is locally grown and purchased locally. And as long as, you know, they get adequate rain and farmers can plant, you know, there is food available. You know, it's just the hard times of the year when maybe they don't get enough rain or, you know, this past year has been a struggle for Ethiopia, but definitely an ability to grow food there in the southern part. And, definitely, though, lack of nutrition in some ways. You know, you go and you look at people, they're much smaller, much thinner overall when you compare them to Americans, and you realize how overfed we really are.
we are.
We're very, very.
Well,
the NGO that we're supporting really does a good job feeding the kids, though, so I'm thankful for that.
That's awesome.
I'm anxious to meet
That's really awesome.
You met that led you on this path down this road. It sounds like his story is an amazing story as well. And I love the fact that you do follow the children once you sponsor one of the children. You follow them all the way through whatever it takes to get them the education, because education is the key, and you're exactly right. So many Ethiopians' children don't have the opportunity to attend school, and your program ensures that they do. And the Ethiopian government is trying their best to improve, and the improvement has been made at school levels, but so many, because the average income in Ethiopia is still only $40 a month. That's out back to about $35 a month, but that's still just over a dollar a day. And so if a family of four or five children, if a family has four or five children, they tend to send the oldest son in some cases, and you might know more about this as well, but and might not be able to send the other four children. They can't afford books and uniforms. So your program to follow for this connection that now Sandy has with her, this young boy, to watch him grow over the next 5-10 years into a young man and become self-sufficient, whatever. And we bless him and pray that he ends up going to one of the free universities. Which is great. But even the trade school, some of my children did not pass yet and had to go to trade school. One of my young girls, well, now she's now married and has a young boy, she did not pass it, and she had to go to a trade school, and she became a bank teller, actually. She works in a bank as a teller.
Okay.
And so there is opportunity at that level, too. Sponsored child and all the sponsor programs, it's about education. It's about health and a combination of getting them to grow and then become self-sufficient their own world and turn around and help their people and help their family. If Sandy, I don't know if Sandy's young boy has brothers and sisters, but if he can get through the program and go to university or go become an electrician, he then can take care of his family, his mother, father, and his siblings. And so that's
definitely
what that's what happens. That's the fruit of your program. And bless you for that.
I've been involved in this for about 5 years, and it's been neat to see some of the older children that have been there 5 years and have had the same sponsors. It's neat to see that relationship grow. And, sponsors sometimes will say, well, how long do I need to sponsor a child? And I always tell people, do as long as you can, but, man, if you can sponsor them all the way through, that's amazing.
I don't mean this is a generalization, but very few sponsors in any program around the world ever actually get a chance to actually meet their child. And I was fortunate. I've met all of my children in Ethiopia, and Sandy, it looks like she's going to get a chance to meet hers. And what happens, Sandy, once you do that, the tie bind is solid, and you're not going to, you'll know his grandchildren.
That's what I find so amazing about all of this. I mean, I'm really excited I'm going to get to see him. But, you know, for me, you know, when I look at something that I'm going to take on, you know, financially, and for those of you that are listening, you know, I really sat on this for a long time because I knew once I did it, I wanted to see him all the way through to the very end, all the way through to his education until he was grown. You know, and that is a big commitment. And life happens to a lot of people, and for whatever reasons, you know, they have to step out from, you know, sponsoring a child for whatever financial reason may happen, because things happen unexpectedly. But for me personally, it was a commitment, and it was a big commitment, and I knew once going in that my heart was not going to let me turn around and go back, you know, because that's just the kind of person I am. And you know, I did really sit on it for a while because I knew the importance of this decision. So, you know, for those of you who are listening out there, you know, really pray about it, you know, and really seek God, you know, in leading you to the right child. He will show you who it is, and, you know, and be committed, and he'll provide for you in ways that, you know, are beyond your comprehension to make sure that that, you know, that payment every month is made so that child can go to school. So I want to switch gears a little bit. We've got about 13 minutes left on the show. For those of you who are listening, do check out the website, partnerswithethiopia.org, and reach out to Ingrid if you have any questions. There's a sponsorship page with all the children that are available for sponsorship. And right now they are doing this campaign to sponsor children. How many more children do we need to sponsor, Ingrid?
We have 75 children to go, and the goal is to get them sponsored by the beginning of August so that they're all sponsored and ready, you know, in time for the school year.
Ready to go in. Yeah, so we have about 75 more children. So if you can afford $38 a month to sponsor a child, please go to partnerswithethiopia.org and check out their page of their children on there and select one and change a life. You know, it's so important. We all get wrapped up in our own daily lives and we don't really look around to other people's needs, but it is so fulfilling and such a blessing when you can give back to someone else, because what you give out for that person actually turns out being more of a blessing than what that child is actually receiving, even though it's a big blessing for them too. You really do both get blessed, you know, by taking that action. So I want to encourage all of you who are listening to do that. Also, I'm going to switch gears a little bit. For those who have been helping me get to Africa by buying the shirt and buying the life-saving products, I do want to focus on World Impact Solutions. And you can go and find out more about them at catchthewavehawaii.com. Basically, what we do is we sell life-saving products to fight malaria, to fight malnutrition, to fight dirty water. We sell these life-saving products to people like you and I. And then the organization World Impact Solutions sends these out to a child or a family in need around the world. And by your purchase, every purchase that you make, I get a reward or a commission for every purchase that you make, and all the money from all the sales of that are going into my funding for Africa. So if you're a company and you're looking to sponsor me, please reach out to me. I'm looking for major company sponsors to help me raise the funds. I'm doing really good so far. I've already raised a third, which is amazing, and I raised a third in like 6 weeks. So I'm super happy about the progress that I'm making there. But please check out my website, catchthewavehawaii.com. Go to the World Impact Solutions page to learn more about what we're doing. And there's links right there where it will take you to the website where you can purchase these life-saving products. Also, you will notice on the website that there is a song called Voices from the Heart. It's by singer-songwriter Cheryl Ray here on Maui. She wrote this song back in 2002, and I ran across it. She sent it to me about a week or so ago, and is a perfect match with what I am doing here. And she, out of the graciousness of her heart, every download of that song is going to purchase a life-saving product through World Impact Solutions. So it's just a dollar, but a dollar goes a long way when everybody's doing it. And when you go to the website as well, you will see the download for the song. And if you download right there, that money is going to go to a life-saving product that will actually save the life of a child somewhere in the world. So, Michael, I'm going to let you piggyback off me a little bit on that to talk a little bit more about it. We have about 9 minutes left, so I'm going to give you a few minutes here, okay?
Well, thank you, Sandy. Well, I don't know how much more to say. You just said it all. Sandy and I, and thank you, Ingrid, as well, first of all. I just love what you're doing. And I love how it's structured and set up with the working with actual Ethiopians. I think that gives so much credibility to what you're doing. And that's what I love about working in Ethiopia with some of the organizations that I work with there, that we work with the Ethiopians. Let the Ethiopians, they know their people. They know they have a heart for their people. It's an amazing culture. And it's just an amazing country. I lived there in 1960 as a nine-year-old boy, and I love that country. Part of my heart lives in Ethiopia. But World Impact Solutions is impacting the world, too, in a different way. It's an amazing company, and they are making a difference in the world with dealing with childhood mortality rate. In Africa, a child dies of malaria every 5 minutes, and a child dies of malnutrition or issues related to malnutrition every few minutes. So literally 3 million children, primarily under the age of five, are dying every year and every day. While we've been on this call, hundreds have died. And that's what we do, and it's going to make a difference. Going to send Sandy to Ethiopia, which will in turn turn around and impact her to go back out and sell more products, because she's going to see firsthand the need and see firsthand the results. And so it's a wonderful company. You can trust that when you buy one of the World Impact Solutions products, you can trust 100% that that product, whether it be a micronutrient or a water filtration system, or a mosquito net, will literally get put into the hands of a child. They have a point-to-point verification program that assures that as well. So it's a wonderful program. It's going to help us. And on the other, we love, Sandy and I, to promote good in the world, people doing good in the world, people that have a heart and gifts. Many of these people have gifts that are specific to their what they're doing, and this Ethiopian NGO in southern Ethiopia, it just warms my heart to see what they're doing and seeing the results. I can't wait to see what this young man that Sandy is going to help take care of and nurture through his years through that program will happen. And by the way, Sandy, you'll come to find out as well, I know I have, that I've been blessed 1,000% more than I ever did bless the children that I sponsored. They gave me and my son so much more in return that I had, you can't even explain it until you experience it. But anyway, but World Impact Solutions, catchthewavehawaii.com, great, great website. It's an amazing website, Sandy. I love what you've done on that site. So much information. Folks, spend some time on there. And make sure, and also I'm going to turn it back to you, but Ingrid, make sure you also tell us how we can connect with you, your social media. Yes. We have your website, but share other ways that we can connect with the organizations you're working with and last minute things for what you're doing in Ethiopia as well. God bless you both, ladies. I'm going to sign off.
Okay, thanks, Michael. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Oh, okay, thanks. Yeah, so I'm on Instagram as Partners with Ethiopia, and I'm trying to remember. I feel really bad. I have another friend helping me, and she runs our Twitter. I think she's got the link on our website to Twitter, so if you can go to our website, partnerswithethiopia.org, you can find the link to our Twitter. And we're also very active on Facebook. We have a Partners with Ethiopia Facebook page, and we do a lot of posting on there as well. And when people sponsor, I try to friend them personally on Facebook. I do a lot of advocating just on my personal Facebook as well. And I can be reached by email at reachinghiskids@gmail.com. So that's the best, best way to get in touch with me.
Yeah, that's great. Now, I'm on Twitter right now. So if you're on Twitter, listeners, the Twitter page is at ETO Partners. So it's at, and it's
okay.
ETHIO and Partners. So that's the Twitter page for reaching out to them as well that way. Do check out the website, partnerswithethiopia.org. There's a wealth of information there of how you can get involved and be a part of this. I am so inspired by you. You know, you've been there every year for the last 5 years. So for me, you know, I've never been in a country. I've been to Belize in Central America, but I've never been to Africa, you know, and just kind of having that connection with you because, you know, I'm kind of going in not really knowing what to expect, you know, because I've never been there or experienced it. But I have loved talking to you and just having you share your heart with me on, you know, the different things to expect because it's a different culture, you know, and it's a different world, you know. And, you know, you hear all the scary stories and everybody's like, oh, my gosh, you know, Ethiopia, are you kidding me? You know, it's a thriving, thriving country. It's the fastest growing economy in the world for those who don't know. It's thriving and it's growing and it's prospering. And it's not the desert, dry desert sand that everybody thinks of. There's it's lush and green in areas too. And you know, there's so many people, really Americans, that are over there making a difference in the lives of these people in these communities with these humanitarian efforts. And I'm so encouraged by that. And just to be a part of what you're doing and, you know, sponsoring Hanania and helping advocate with you, you know, and spread the word, you know, that's the reason I'm going to Africa, is really to shine a light on these different efforts that are happening over there and using my voice, you know, to come back and share the information with people, because education is so important. The more people get educated about what's going on in other parts of the world, you know, God is going to pull on their heart to get involved in certain areas in some ways. And as they get educated, then they're going to take action just like I did. So I'm so inspired and encouraged by you, Ingrid. I'm really cannot wait to go there and experience what you get to experience, you know. And I know it won't be my last trip for sure. I know I'll be going back very often. So thanks so much for being on board with us today and just continue to do the work. And anything that you need from us, please let us know.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to share. So thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, thank you so much. Well, for those of you who are listening, make sure to go to my website, catchthewavehawaii.com. We will be back here next Monday, 8 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time right here. I am all over social media. If you go to Instagram on Sandy C. Maui or Twitter Sandy C. Maui, you can even type in Sandy C. Maui on Facebook and find me that way. Just reach out to me if you have any questions, you want to get involved to help me get to Africa, or you want to find out more information of the work that Ingrid's doing and you want to get involved that way and sponsor a child, please reach out to us. Thanks again for everybody for listening. We're going to sign off, and we will see you next Monday right here, 8 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time. And aloha.
Aloha, folks.